Now, last week, we began a new series on the book of James. Now, the words written almost 2,000 years ago, but they're so relevant for us, so relevant. There's a great deal of wisdom to be found in the book of James. James, remember, was the brother of Jesus. And that must have been a strange family dynamic. But he was the little brother of Jesus. Wow. He grew up in Nazareth, the son of Mary and Joseph. And there's something this morning particularly special when we're thinking about family and Samuel's family, that we're remembering James is part of this special family in Nazareth. He grew up with Jesus. Now, after Jesus' death and resurrection, James became the leader of the church in Jerusalem, a church persecuted and scattered. And this book is so old, written only 15 years. Theologians and scholars believe about 15 years after the resurrection. Now, I wonder if you're a good listener. We all need to feel heard, don't we? Especially when there are things we need to get off our chest. Some people listen with their whole self, and those people are a gift. The people that really listen when you need someone to talk to. And real listening is a skill, and when there's a lot going on in our own lives, it's hard to try and really listen to somebody. When we're in a hurry, when we're rushing from one thing to another, it's hard to slow down and listen. I wonder if you ever have that conversation. This conversation happens in our house of, no, I definitely told you that. No, you don't think you did tell me that. No, I told you. No, you didn't. No, you weren't listening. You know the conversation? This happens a lot, right? It's so familiar because listening takes effort. Listening takes patience, that perseverance we were thinking about last week. Little Samuel, as he grows up, he's going to have lots of voices to listen to, lots of different voices. But for years to come, the most important voices around him are those loving voices of his mum and dad. And he'll listen to mum and dad, and by listening, he's learning. He's learning how to have his own voice, how to speak for himself. Now, when we listen, we learn. And that starts very, very young. When we're tiny. And as long as we're alive and we're listening, we are still learning. We're always learning, no matter our age. Now, James says this. We have a little verse here. All of us should be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. Listen first. When we slow down and we're not just thinking about what we're going to say next in the conversation, we're less likely to rush the speaking part and slow down to hear. And often as human beings, we're the other way around, aren't we? We rush through the listening part to get quick to the talking part and really fast to the anger part. That's the way that we do it. So this verse is good advice, practical advice from James about our relationships. There's something powerful here about slowing down. Slowing down to hear one another. One of the wonderful things about Jesus is that he's in no rush. When we look at the Gospels, Jesus took time with people. He took time to listen. He took time to be with people, and he really listened. And when there are things that are on our hearts that we're worried about, and other people are maybe a little bit too fast to slow down, to hear. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He will listen to the things that are on your heart. Speak to him, because he listens with his whole self. John Mark Comer is an American pastor. Don't hold that against him. He's a busy dad and a husband, with a young family, and he's a son, and he's an author. He's a very, very busy guy. And he wrote a book that I really love, called The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry. Hurry. The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry. Because he realized the speed at which he was living his life. It's not good. That's speed. He was so busy, go, 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 go. He didn't have time just to be in God's presence, just to be with his family, just to be present in the moment. God wants us well. God wants you and I well and whole, not rushing about. And John Mark Comer was on the verge of a nervous breakdown with all the things that were going on. Because his life was so full, he couldn't hear God. He didn't have that time to slow down to hear God. And he couldn't hear the people around him who loved him. So he spent a few years working on slowing down. And he said this, we have this quote, "To walk with Jesus is to walk a slow, unhurried pace. Hurry is the death of prayer." That's quite a statement. "Hurry is the death of prayer and only impedes and spoils our work, never advances it." And I agree with John Mark Comer that hurry and rush are actually bad for us. They're bad for our spiritual lives. Sunday is a day of rest, and I am confessing here, I don't know that I do rest on a Sunday. And I know for a lot of us that is hard to do. But there's something about rushing everywhere and not slowing down that causes us to have bad tempers, and it causes us overwhelm, and it causes us anger, and it causes us burnout. And James is saying, be slow to listen. Slow. We need to make sure that we're taking time to slow down and listen to God, because he'll speak to us. He speaks to you and me, and he speaks in the quiet. We need to take time to go slow. And I have a picture here of somebody that I would like to just tell you about briefly. This week, I had the chance to go to a Christian AIDS event in Edinburgh where a man called Daoud Nassar was speaking. And that's Daoud there on the screen. Now, Daoud's from Bethlehem, little town of Bethlehem. He's from Bethlehem. He's a Palestinian Christian. He's got 3 university degrees, and he speaks 3 languages. He's a very smart man. And he lives with his family in a farm just outside Bethlehem in the West Bank. Now, this land that he lived on was purchased by his grandfather. And usually in the Middle East, your word is your bond. So people never wrote things down. But his grandfather, over 100 years ago, had legal documents to prove this was his land. So since 1991, the family have been battling in the Israeli courts to be allowed to keep their land. And I have had the privilege to be, I've been to Daoud's farm in the West Bank, and I've had the privilege of meeting him and his family a few times. The thing that is so impressive about them is their faith. They have faith in bucket loads. They're Christians who've decided, and that's what they've written on that stone there, we refuse to be enemies. Everything says that they should be enemies with each other, and they refuse to be enemies because Jesus taught us we have to love our enemies. Now, people from all over the world come to see the farm and see how this family managed to live in such a difficult place without bitterness, without anger, without any resentment. And David has met some interesting people. He was invited this week to go and meet the Pope. The UN Secretary General has been to his farm. And he's been to our General Assembly in the Church of Scotland, which is probably the highlight, I would think, of that list. He's been to our General Assembly here in Edinburgh. And on Wednesday when he was here, he told this story. Now, I won't tell it as good as he does, but I'll try my best. Now, he was in his car, and it's a big 4x4. And his family were in the car with him, and they'd been in Bethlehem all day. And the farm's just outside Bethlehem, so they're making their way back. And it was dark, and his children were asleep in the back of this 4x4. And his elderly mother was there, and his wife. Israelis with their faces covered with masks, carrying big guns. They pushed their faces against the window, and they said, "Get out of the car." Wanted him out of the car. And as they pointed the guns at him, his chest was covered in the red laser beams from the guns. And they demanded Daoud would let them search the car. And they shouted, out the car. And Daoud said, he got out of the car, but he said, look, you can see in the car, look at all the windows, you can see my mother, my wife, my children are sleeping. Please don't make me wake my children. Because if they see this, and they see their dad like this, in the middle of the night, and they see you like this, it's going to be a nightmare for them. That's going to be so hard for them. Please don't let me get the children out of the car. But they wouldn't. So he opened the car and he spoke in English to make sure the Israelis could understand what he was saying. And he took his time. Wake up, kids, he says. Wake up. Don't be scared. These people, they're just like us. They're just grown ups like mum and dad. They just want to see inside our car. Nothing to be scared of. And the children came out of the car and he's saying to the children, it's okay. It's okay. Mum and dad are here. They're people like us. Nothing to be scared of. And they searched the car and then they told Dowd and his family they could go. But just as he got in the car and he was ready to leave, he looked in his rearview mirror and he could see one of the men with a gun coming back towards the car. And he motioned to him to roll down the window. And the man with the gun said, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for what we did to your family tonight. It was wrong, and I hope your children are okay. And Dowd explained, Israelis were scared too. They were scared too. And rushing to anger would do them no good, and it would do his family no good. And he tells this story so much better than me. But I wanted to share that with you because I think it just illustrates what James is saying so beautifully. Slow to speak, slow to become angry, because anger doesn't produce the righteousness that God requires. That word righteousness here can also be translated as justice. Human anger doesn't produce justice that God desires. We see this in a big scale, don't we, whenever we put on the news. We see that anger is not producing justice. The truth is, anger is an emotion that we all feel. We are all humans. We feel it sometimes, many times a day. We feel anger. We feel it. But James tells us, be slow with anger. Don't rush to be angry and indignant. Don't be quick. And there's something about the emotion of anger that's really fast. It's like Jessica lighting the candles this morning. It speeds up. How many times, I know that I've done this, how many times have we all said something when we were angry that we think, oh, what did I say that for? Why did I say that? Anger kicks in before our brains. And for some of us, this is hard stuff for some of us because we're people who feel, and we feel anger quickly, and we can have quick tempers, but as followers of Jesus, we have to check ourselves for anger. God will help you with this, and God will help me with this. And James says, slow down, be slow to anger. Give yourself time. See, God wants the best for every single one of us. He wants the best for you, and he wants the best for me. And he knows anger is not doing us good. That's not God's best for us. It will destroy you. It will destroy your relationships. So if you know that being quick to anger is a problem in your life, ask God to give you strength in this area and speak to someone. Someone to hold you accountable for how you're getting on with it. James says, humbly accept the word planted in you. Humility. Humility. It's hard to be angry when we're humble. Accept that word of God. Accept there is a God in heaven, that Jesus died in your place. It takes humility. When we baptized little Samuel this morning, who is so good. You have been so good this morning. When we baptized Samuel, we remembered Jesus asks us to come to him just like that, as a little child in humility, just believing, just having faith. The kingdom of heaven belongs to little ones like Samuel. Samuel's got much to teach us about faith. He's not worried. Look at him there. He's having the time of his life. He is not worried. He's not worried that mum and dad might forget to feed him. He's not worried that they might forget to bath him. He just knows that he's loved and he trusts, completely trusts his family. James says, humbly accept that word planted in you. That's so similar to what we see with Samuel. Just this little Samuel humbly trusts You and I need to just humbly trust God, that he knows what he's doing in our lives, that he has a plan for us, for a good future. This letter of James is central to the charity Alcoholics Anonymous. It's very, very important for Alcoholics Anonymous, this letter. And AA was almost called the James Club, in fact, after this letter. And one of the key themes in AA is that you have to believe in a power that's greater than you. That there's something behind this universe that is good. There's something behind this universe that is kind and is big and powerful and greater than us. That humility. And James says, listen and then go and do something about it. Listen to God and then go on with the job that he's given us to do. Verse 27, it says, this is what God wants of us, to look after orphans and widows. And when James wrote this during the Roman occupation of the Middle East, orphans and widows were the poorest of the poor. They had nothing. That's what God is wanting us to do. That's what he asks us to do. God cares about the poor, the suffering, the brokenhearted, and he expects that us as followers of Jesus, that we care about those things too. And that's what God wants from us. Not just listening, listening is important, but doing something with our faith, caring for people, noticing the need to slow down and listen to the people that we meet every day. James says, keep yourself from being polluted by the world. In other words, don't get caught up in all the things that don't matter. Don't worry about the rat race. Don't worry about getting to the top of the ladder. Don't make jokes at other people's expense that cause them harm. That's not God's best. Verse 22, it sums up the whole of the letter of James. This is what James, the little brother of Jesus, who could have taught us anything about Jesus, this is what he says. Do not merely listen to the word and deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Do it. Go for it. Take your faith in Jesus and go and make a difference. Be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to anger. Why? Because that is who Jesus is to us. I have a last little slide here. Psalm 103 is a good place to end. Written hundreds of years before Jesus, it says this, the Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger. That's who God is. Slow to anger and abounding in love. He's slow to be angry at us. He has compassion on us, and that is what we are called to be to others. Amen.